So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me in your Bibles. We're going to go to four scriptures tonight. We're going to four scriptures tonight. And I really want to, I really feel like God wants to do something tonight in us. Wants to do something in you. I want to preach on the subject, are you easily offended? Well, if you live in America, the answer is yes. Amen. Are you easily offended? And I just feel like that tonight, and I'm not saying this to try to conjure up anything, but I really feel like that tonight somebody's going to get free. Somebody's going to get off the crazy train. Get on some solid ground. Get off the merry-go-round. And get on some solid ground tonight. And it's not because of the word that I'm going to preach, but the word that you're going to receive. And the Spirit of heaven, I believe, is going to touch you in a real way. And you're going to get off the crazy train. Bump your neighbor. Say, I know he's talking to you. Amen. I'm going to give you four scriptures. I want you to write them down. They are on YouVersion. What is that, Pastor? It's been a while since I explained this. But YouVersion is a Bible app that was, as a matter of fact, it was developed by Life Church. Where's Life Church out of? There we go. Oklahoma. And I thought you were still in Oklahoma. Good to see you back. But they were developed at Life Church, Craig Groeschel, and now there's 290 million devices with YouVersion on it. It's the Bible. You go, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, it's got it where it can even talk to you. I mean, you can read it. You can have it read to you. Amen. Going down to, listen, I've seen some of y'all driving trying to read it, and don't do that. Just plug it in. Let it read to you. Let it read to you. But anyway, YouVersion, if you go to there, you can do a search for events and put in CRCOG, which is the acronym for Crystal River Church of God, of course. And my notes will be on there, and these notes that you see on the screens will be there also, so you can go back and review them. Now, what I don't want you to do is go back and refute them and then send me emails about I was wrong. I don't really care having that conversation with you. When you get your church, you can do that. But here's what it says. But write these down. I think they'll help you. Woe to the world because of offenses. Now look at that girl. That girl, she's offended. I asked Diana to find me a picture of offense today, and that's what she came up with. I said, you should have just took a picture of yourself. But she didn't. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses comes. Matthew 24:10 says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then Romans 14:21 says, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. And then Luke 17:2 says, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than he should offend one of the little ones. And the problem where we face tonight is that everybody is so easily offended. You can talk about any number of things and people will get offended. You talk about food, somebody will get offended. You talk about meat, somebody is going to get offended. Some vegan somewhere, some vegetarian is going to going to be offended that we eat meat. You know what vegetarian is, right? It is an Indian name, an old Indian. It stands for bad hunter. That's what a vegan, a vegetarian is, bad hunter. He couldn't kill nothing, so he decided he'd be a vegan. So anyway, I'm just kidding. See, somebody's offended on that. You know, I'm offended. Listen, you go ahead and just keep eating your grass, and I'll keep killing the things that eat the grass and eat it. Anyway, let me move on before I offend you. Amen. But you see, there's so many easy ways to be offended. You know, I was right before I went home to sit down, see my wife for a few minutes and check to see if I had any holes in my eyelids and listen to the news a little bit. And there's a, you know, there's an uproar about dog trainers and things like that. I'm like, really? And there's like they're flooding City Hall in Hillsborough County. I'm like, really? All the issues we have, and that's what we're going to talk about, is dog trainers. I just kind of find that comical. But that's where we're at. We're at a place in society where everybody's rights stops at my feelings. Boy, it's going to be quiet up in here tonight. If I say amen, I might offend somebody around me. Just look at all your neighbors right now and go, amen, 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 and amen. Just go and do it with some attitude. That's right. Just get it on out. But think about the word offended. It is off-ended. It's off-ended. And if it is when we get knocked off our ends, so to speak, is when we have trouble. Is when it gets us off of our balance is where we have trouble. And offense will keep you from God's best and deliver you to Satan's worst. My God, somebody hear me. That offense will keep you from God's best, but will lead you to Satan's worst or deliver you to Satan's worst. Because if you are offended, then it's hard to receive anything that anybody else has to say because you have a spirit of offense. And if you're not careful, when you are offended, then you are happy, you take on a spirit of offense, and then everything is offends you. Now, this is a true story that I found today. On September 11th, 1992, an unusual parking ticket was given on Peru Street in South Central Los Angeles at 9:46 a.m. An officer wrote up the ticket for an illegally parked Cadillac. There was no question that the car was in violation. The driver did not object to the ticket. In fact, the driver didn't say a word. He couldn't say a word. He was dead. The officer had taken time to observe the parking violation, write a ticket, then stick his hand through the small opening in the window to put it on his dash within inches of his stiffened sitting upright behind the steering wheel and placed a $30 citation on the dashboard. He never noticed that the man was dead. I hope he's not a detective. Paramedics said that the man had been dead 10 to 12 hours when the ticket was given. The officer shares a common trait with many of us Christians, is that we walk through life citing others with petty violations while remaining oblivious to the fact that they are spiritually dead. That we look at the pettiness of people without understanding that they are spiritually dead. We're offended or repulsed by the behavior of non-Christians and rebuke them for not acting more like Christ. And the fact is, they don't have the power to change. They are legally or illegally parked and can't do a thing about it without Christ. And so Christians can help by personally introducing them to the love and the power of Christ instead of just being repulsed by their actions. We can do a better job with, you know, I can't believe they act like that. Well, they're unsaved. How do you expect people to act? You know, people tell me all the time, Pastor Arish, I really wish you would act your age. I should have never been this age before. I don't know how to act that. And so when you don't know any better, you act the way that you think, right? If everybody on your block is a Jerry Springer episode, you think that's normal. If you think if everybody speaks to one another and hollers at one another and speaks not ill toward one another, you think that's normal because that is the norm that you've been raised around. But I've come by to tell you that Jesus gave us his word so that we don't have to live a life of depravity, so that we don't have to live a life that is void of the peace of God that surpasses understanding, so that we don't have to live a life that has no joy, the life that only has pockets of fun but no real joy. The life that I'm talking about, it is life unspeakable or joy unspeakable and full of glory. The life that I'm talking about is that you can go be going through the midst of hell and still have peace in your life, peace in your soul, because you recognize it is not because of who you are but because of whose you are. It's not because of what you're going through, it's because of who has you going through whatever it is you might be going through. See, being too easily being too easily offended is a form of self-victimization. And I am so tired of everybody being a victim. My Lord Jesus. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I'm not going to be a victim, man. I'm a victor. I'm not going to be a victim. I can't help what happened to you, but you can help how you respond to it. I can't help, you can't help what they did to you, but you can respond whether you're going to let them keep you trapped in the cell of yesterday, or I'm going to stand up and walk out of what used to hold me back, because greater is he that is in me than he that stands against me. Why are so many people so easily offended? Am I the only one who has witnessed this? It used to just be in the church, but now it's everywhere. You can't talk about anything without somebody being offended. So my mantra is, I talk about everything and everybody and let everybody be offended. I tell our church members, when you go through our new members, I'll tell you that if I haven't offended you yet, stick around. I'm sure I will. See, matter of fact, we even tell church people here, and I know we have a few guests here this morning or tonight, but let me just tell you, if you are easily offended, if you wear your feelings on your shoulder, we're probably not the church for you, because I know the pastor, and he doesn't tiptoe to the tulips or walk around on eggshells. You will be offended. I have no idea why you clapped for that. I am so offended right now that you clapped. No. You know, we talked about, you know, last Sunday we talked about how that we have security here. Because, why? Because people are stupid. Well, we just got, well, all we need is the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost, Smith & Wesson and Ruger. And I believe Glock is somewhere around too. But anyway, when I was talking about that, I had a couple get up and leave Sunday. And I thought, well, baby, if that offends you, you need to go on moving already, because I ain't even got started yet. I'm just on the introduction. But why are people so easily offended? And when I Y'all really need to pray. Y'all are not praying for me enough. Because I started this message. It was just going to be a small sermon. And by the time I got done, I had 7 points with another 5 points I needed to develop. And so it might be a little mini series. I don't know. But we'll go until I feel like that we're done tonight. You know, around 10 o'clock. We'll be out, I'm sure, by 10. And some of y'all are like, oh, I'm going to be done a lot sooner than any of that. And we will be. But why are people so easily offended? One, because it's a form of self-victimization. You know, but one of the reasons, point number one is this, emotional wounds that have not healed. Just because you're over it, or just because you think you're over it, doesn't mean that you've healed. Anybody ever had surgery? And the surgery required rehabilitation, rehab. Had anybody had that where there had to be physical therapy involved? Well, everybody knows in order for healing to take place, pain must be a part of it. Because if you do not begin to work out that thing which had surgery, then it is easier for infection to set in. So you've got to begin to move even after you've been hurt, because part of healing is part of walking through the pain of what just happened. I'm not going to sit in the pain of what just happened. I'm not going to stay there. I may cry. I may lament. I may gripe, and I might complain. But the Bible says that mourning endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. At some point in time in your life, you've got to get up, dust yourself off, and say, I'm not going to stay in this dilapidated state that I'm in. I'm going to dust myself off, and I'm going to walk on, and I'm going to get healed over this wound that I have. Jesus came to heal wounded people, and there are a lot of us. You know, here's what's crazy to me. Do you ever notice? Don't point at nobody, please. Don't point at nobody. Have you ever noticed that the people who are the loudest mouths, the most curt, the most, well, I'll just tell you what I think, are the ones who are so easily offended? You know, they want to tell you what they think, but they can dish it, but they can't take it. Amen. Baby, you better not dish it to me if you can't take it. Because I'm going listen, my back is like leather. Why? Because I have people in my life like Brian Dowling. If you can dish it, you got to be able to take it. Amen? I mean, listen, if most of the time, people who kind of pick on you or who kind of joke with you, it's usually because they love you. I don't pick with people I don't like. I don't pick at people I don't like. I just come straight up at them. Are you with me? Amen? People I like and love, I kind of pick at them. But the thing is, Jesus came to heal wounded people. He came, see, the devil came to keep you where you are, but Jesus came to deliver you from where you are to a place you would rather be. Without his healing in our lives, instead of leaping, we limp. And there's too many Christians that are limping instead of leaping. Because the wound did not heal. And if the wound does not heal correctly, then you're not going to be able to use it like you want, my God, like you once used it. So you got to go through the pain and the rehabilitation in order to use it correctly. Now, the only thing I've ever had done, I had my meniscus shaved or something like that. I don't know. And so, and one of the members of our church worked for the doctor who did it. And so I asked the doctor, I had it done, I think, on a Wednesday or a Friday. I don't know. I said, well, can I preach Sunday? He goes, well, yeah, you ought to be able to preach. All you're going to do is stand there, right? The person who worked for him goes, oh, no, that ain't our preacher. And so she looked at me and goes, you can't preach Sunday. And I said, what about next Wednesday? We'll see. So then they started me out with a cane. And I'd walk with a cane, you know, because I just had that surgery. So I would preach with the cane. I wouldn't walk with it normally, but when I was preaching, I would use it. And the next thing you know, I was doing all this stuff, you know, and getting all excited. But here's what I do know. As soon as I got home, they told me what to do, the exercises. And I did those because I didn't want it to affect the rest of my life. And some of you did not, or maybe not you, the Sunday morning crowd, some of them have not walked through what they needed to walk through. They didn't face the pain. They didn't walk through the pain. They didn't come through the pain. They didn't get over the pain. And they're still stuck on the other side of that pain, looking at the pain, wishing they were on the other side. But now it has set up and they're so, and it's grew in a situation where they cannot get through it without they got to go back in and re-break the leg to get you through it. You just think that healing is painful when they have to completely redo what they just did. And that's when it's more painful. Because see, let me tell you something. We've heard it many times. Hurt people hurt people. Right? Hurt people hurt people. We've heard it many times, but also hurt people are more easily hurt again. Oh, hurt people are more hurt again. How many of you have re-injured an injury? You know, they went on my meniscus. I asked the doctor, and you know, I'm sorry that I haven't had any major surgeries. That's all I can talk about. To God be the glory. But on my meniscus, the doctor said, I said, Doc, when did I do that? He goes, did you play football? I go, well, of course I did. Yeah, you know. And he goes, well, it's a football injury. I said, dude, that was 30 years ago. But it never healed right. And I traced it back. I remember the day it happened. Ricky Clark and Johnny Clark, two brothers. When we were playing outlaw football, anybody know what I'm talking about? Outlaw football means no pads, no helmets. Talking about two-hand touch. That's right. My two hands are going to touch you, and I'm going to tackle you. That's what's going to happen. We ain't playing no little two-hand touch. But Ricky was about 390 pounds. And Johnny was shorter, and he was 360 pounds. And we as a neighborhood would never let them play on the same side. And so I was running the ball, and Ricky was in front of me, and Johnny was behind me, and Johnny tried to push me through Ricky, and Ricky didn't move, so I was the sandwich. And when we came together, they all fell on my leg, and I remember it. Matter of fact, I remember it like yesterday. What are you saying? That's how we do our wounds. And if you're not careful, you'll remember in such a way that you'll start limping once again. Ah. And that's what the devil wants you to do, is to keep remembering how you got hurt, what is hurt, so that you'll never get over what was hurt. But I've come by to tell you tonight that Jesus has stopped by and is stopping by this place tonight to set you free and to heal your wound. Hey. Wounds that are unhealed can suffer setbacks more quickly than new wounds. Well, I'll be all right. And you try to make it, but you didn't get healed. An aged wound is more likely to become infected, which means a wound that is not dealt with. You know, as some of our nurses that are in here, I promise you that if you don't deal with your wound, it's going to get worse. It started out as an ingrown toenail. Now it's gangrene. About to take your toe off because you didn't deal with it, right? Because it happens so fast and so easily.
Well, Pastor, it's sore. It's tender to the touch. Yeah, isn't it? Because anybody that brings up, you ever been around people and you've been through stuff and somebody brings up something that you went through and you're like, you just still hurt by it. You still just, oh. And then what didn't even happen to you, it happened to somebody else. And you just go, oh, I remember. And you start limping again. The least pressure, it cries out. We protect sore spots. We guard around them. And sometimes we protect the sore spots in such a way that the healing can't get to it. Because we're afraid. When a person has suffered a lot of abuse, they tend to start being suspicious toward anyone who moves with authority toward them. Hear me now. You know, if you've ever been abused, you've got to be careful that you don't overcompensate. That now you don't want to be under nobody's authority. And then that's out of order. They become easily offended, even by good intentions. Why? Because of their past experiences. You know, have you ever noticed that you get so far and it's like you regress? Maybe it's because that you haven't got over what happened. Maybe it's because you haven't let anybody that has godly authority in your life to help you get through this. See, listen, authority is abused in a lot of ways, but not everybody in authority is an abuser. Ah, there are some folks, if I ask you to raise your hand tonight, you could raise your hand and say, my father was an abuser. But let me just go on record that not all fathers are abusers. Not all mothers are abusers. And just because there's a mother, or just because a father, just because the title is to somebody's name, doesn't mean that they're abuser. I know some pastors that are abusers. I know people of authority that are some abusers. But just because some people are in that position doesn't mean that everybody's in that is an abuser. So you've got to, but because of your hurt and because of your wound, you view everybody through the glasses of your wound. Is there someone who you're struggling with right now simply because they remind you of someone who has deeply hurt you? I've had that happen right here in this church. There's a woman that came up to me and she said, Pastor, I just have to apologize to you. I go, oh, okay, what'd you do? I didn't know you did anything. She said, I've been so angry with you. I said, well, I'm certainly possible. What'd I do this time? I said, what'd I do? She goes, no, you just remind me of my ex-husband. And I said, and you divorced him? Are you kidding me? Girl, you didn't know when you had a good thing. No, I didn't sell it. She says, you look like him. Your mannerisms like him. She goes, even when you dance before the Lord, you dance like him. She said, I would look at you with disdain and I would notice when I was preaching she had mean mugged me. Not wanting to receive anything from me. But she had to get over that. And I said, how are we now? She goes, you're good. I know. And here's what her words. She says, I've got to know you now and I know that you're not him. And I know that you're not like him. And I'm so glad that I didn't let the resemblance of him caused me to stay outside of this church, but now she's an intricate part of this church. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just telling you, just because you were abused, you can't look through abused glasses all of your life. At some point in time, you've got to take a chance. At some point in time, you've got to say, I am healed. I won't be a victim again, but not everybody is trying to take advantage of me. Oh, I'm preaching better than you. Amen. Let God pour in the oil of His Spirit into the wounded place. Because if you're there, if you think about somebody right now that has hurt you deeply and they remind you of someone, then you need the healing of your broken heart by Jesus to find the place of security and rest in Him. Number two, bitterness or unforgiveness in the heart. Why are people so easily offended? Bitterness or unforgiveness in the heart, and it really goes right along with what I've already been talking about. Bitterness and unforgiveness. See, you got to recognize that living with constant reminders of someone else who hurt you, so the notion of being wrong is always on the surface. that when you think that you've been wronged, that is always on the surface, and you don't want to hear anything that anybody else has got to say. Because here's the problem. Some people stay in that abuse, and then other people come through that abuse, and they say, and you need to, I'll never be a victim again. But when you say that, you've got to be careful that you don't build up walls that keep everybody out. And because when you keep everybody out, you're also keeping the power of the Holy Spirit. You're also keeping love. You're also keeping friends. You're keeping these people out that you need in your life for the healing to take place in your life. For God to show you that not everybody is a jerk. Amen. You know, I've said this before, and listen, you know, don't send me an email about this. If you want to, then send it to Pastor Steve at crystalrivercog.com. That's my email. But the problem with identity, the problem why, you know, a young girl, well, let me get on that. But the problem with identity, because there are so many women who have been abused that they think all men are that way. And then they begin to seek nurture. And the next thing you know, because women are nurturers, next thing you know, you find nurture in the arms of another woman. And you begin to say that, well, they're helping me. And before long, it becomes something more than that. You know, and for men, maybe you've been hurt by a woman, but I ain't got nothing else to say. I don't know what's going to take you to another man. I can't help you there, bro. If every woman on the planet hurts me, I still ain't going to go toward no other man. I'm sorry. I ain't got nothing for you. Oh, you're so homophobic. No, I'm just 100% American man, baby. Mm-mm. My wife has ruined me. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Hallelujah. I ain't got nothing to say. But what I am trying to say is that if you're not careful, you'll think all men are, you know, and then you get around other women and it's just a man bashing party. Hey, you know, we've had to deal with that. We had a single single moms. Remember that one? Yeah. We had a little single moms group that we were trying to get together, but we had to get somebody in there that had some sense. Because what happened, them women got together and all they was doing was bashing men. That wasn't helping nobody. Right? See, listen, you're not helping yourself just by striking out at other people. You're not letting Jesus heal you just by striking out and hurting other people. Matter of fact, what usually happens, the people who have been abused become abusers themselves. Well, not me. Well, in different ways. See, those are people with a chip on their shoulder. You met them, don't point at them. They just got a chip on their shoulder. You can't tell them nothing. You can't help them. They've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. They have already prepared their heart to be easily offended due to bitterness towards someone else. They're bitter because of what somebody else did to them, and so now they're so easily offended by anybody else that tries to help them. Number three, operating out of a wrong spirit. We don't want to talk about that. James and John demonstrated this when they chided Jesus to call down fire upon the Samaritans. And he told them they did not know what spirit they were operating out of. Their prejudice, their prejudgment had prepared their heart to be offended by any Samaritan. You know, that's part of what racism is. You are predetermined, prejudged in your heart based on somebody's skin, based on somebody's gender, that you're going to be offended. And so you're just looking for a reason. Anybody, don't point at them, but anybody know people who just, they walk around with, a trap on their shoulder waiting for somebody to say something that they can just jump off on somebody. They're just waiting for somebody to be offended. I found this show that's in syndication now, and I just love it because he offends everybody. Carrying an offense for someone else. Uh-oh. How many people have ever been offended for somebody else? And they got over it, but you didn't.
Happens all the time. You know, I tell people this in premarital counseling. That if you get married long enough, unless you like my wife, you know, you're going to have some trouble and you're going to have some fights. Now, my wife is 4'10 and a half, but that woman can fight. I ain't lying. One of our last fights that we had a knockdown drag out, and I won't go into detail. But one of the last fights we had, she came crawling to me on her hands and knees. And she said, "Get out from under that bed and fight like a man." But it's going to happen, right? Y'all ain't seen her mad. I'm scared. Shoot. Matter of fact, the way she's looking at me right now, I'm going home with somebody else. Y'all got an extra bedroom? Y'all got an extra bedroom for me to stay at tonight? Shoot. Shoot. I ain't playing. I have no idea where I'm at now. Okay, never mind. But you know, you're going to have some issues when you get married. And I tell people all the time, premarital, I tell them, listen, if you're gonna want to talk to somebody about your spouse, number one, it cannot be somebody of the opposite sex. Cannot. Cannot. Look at your neighbor and tell them, cannot. Cannot. In Spanish, cannot. In German, cannot. And Japanese, cannot. Cannot do it. And then here's the other side of that. You cannot talk to your spouse's family about them. And don't talk to your family about how bad they are. Because you get over it. They still looking for a gator hole to put them down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're offended for you. You know, my sister, years ago, her first husband, in case some of the family's watching, her first husband made a mistake. Well, it wasn't no mistake. He hit my sister. And he hit her in the stomach while she was pregnant with his child. That didn't go over too well with me. It was B.C., before Christ. So he and I had a conversation. And when the conversation was over, the ambulance and the police was there, and he was not moving. And she went to the hospital with him. And she's at the hospital with him, but I'm still mad. My daddy's trying to calm me down. I'm like 18, 17 years old. And my dad's trying to calm me down. Ronnie, aren't you ashamed of yourself? I said, throw some water on him. Wake him up. I'll give him some more. He ain't had enough. But I was offended for her. Now, I've had to, over the years, get over that. And when I see him, because they're not married anymore. Now she's married to a great godly man that's a great father to the children. And the other guy is still a loser. But I'm praying for him. Amen. I'm praying that fleas will find their bed in your armpit. No, I'm still praying for him. But what I am saying is I was offended for her. And if you're not careful, you carry the offense for other people. And they're over it. And now you're still dealing with it. And usually it's because it goes back to something in your own life. That you could not make a difference, and so you decided to make a difference. Listen, Jesus came for us to lay all that down. See, the second offense is harder to deal with than the first one. Because often we will be offended for the sake of somebody else. They may deal with it and forgive their offender. However, God gives them the grace to do that. But listen to me. Because you picked up the offense,
When you picked up the offense that was never meant for you, you find yourself struggling because the offense was never meant for you, but you picked it up. You picked up somebody else's fight. And if you're not careful, you will fight battles that you were never meant to fight. See, that's why we have to have the Holy Spirit. I pray for everybody. Listen closely. I'm going to offend somebody. I pray for everybody, but I intercede for the ones the Lord gives me the assignment for. You know, I know some religious people would say, oh, I intercede for everybody. You liar, shut up. No, I'm talking about, you know, there are different days. There was the other day I woke up in the morning and the Lord had laid somebody in this church on my heart. And when I woke up, man, I just went to battle for them. I don't know what they were going through. I haven't contacted them. I don't know what they were going through. I just went to battle for them. I was in Uruguay. And I went to battle and I began to pray and rebuke the devil and I began to intercede. Now, I pray for everybody. Lord bless our church. Lord bless. You know, but I don't call each one of your names every day. You know, oh, pastor, you call mine? Yeah, whatever. There's a couple of you that do. I know. Come on. That's right. That's because you love me. That's right. And you know I need the prayer. Amen. And you need to practice. But anyway, let me move on. But you understand what I'm saying? But you intercede. You fight the battles for the people and the things that God assigns to you. But some of us are fighting battles that you were never assigned to. You know, I don't, even as a young man, BC, I would get tired of fighting battles that I didn't start. You ever hung around people who just invite trouble? Named Garland Helveston. Garland got me into more fights, and the last one he got me into was going to be like 3-on-2, and we were the two. And I told him, I go, Garland, I'm going with you, I'm going to fight with you. But I just want you to know, after we whooped them, I'm whooping you. Because I'm tired of you getting me in. That's right. That's what I look like, right? I'm tired of you getting me into these fights. And sometimes we pick up offenses of people that God never called us to be offended for. And you're fighting battles and you're in a warfare and you're wondering why you don't ever get rest because you're picking up fights and picking fights that you were never meant to fight. That doesn't mean that you cower in the corner. It just means the fact that you stand your ground. And God, you say go, I'll go. But when you say stay, I'll stay. Let me give you one more and I'm done. Come on back. Because I think it's very important. I've got, like I said, I've got 2 or 3 more. And then I got 5 more after that and I'm going to develop. Ungratefulness. People are offended because they're ungrateful. What have you done for me lately? Have you told me lately that you love me? Remember the ungrateful servant who was forgiven much but would not forgive little? I've been amazed at the people who become offended at the people who have blessed them because they feel like they didn't bless them sufficiently. See, now some of y'all don't ever deal with this. But I've helped people. The church has helped people. But then they get offended because we didn't go all the way. What do you mean? We have to pay the light bill. Oh, you ain't going to pay my insurance either? See, I'm going to get where people live. Help them with their mortgage. And then they go, wait a minute, I still got a light bill and I had one. I got a daycare bill. You sure do. You got that daycare bill. Amen. How about this one? Imagine that a person in your neighborhood came to your door and said, here's $100. I just want to bless you. Why are you doing this, you ask? Again, you're told by your neighbor, I just want to do something good for you. You say, thank you. And the generous neighbor goes on their way. Then to your good fortune, the same neighbor returns next week and gives you another $100 and repeats their desire just to bless you. This awesome gesture continues all year. I'm going to pray for my neighbors. But then one week, the neighbor doesn't show up. You're disappointed. You did not get the $100. The next week, you wait, but the neighbor doesn't come. You begin to feel more discomfort about it. The third week comes and goes, and there's no $100, and then you become offended and bitter toward your neighbor. Pastor, no way. People do it all the time. You know, I had a family, 20 years ago, I guess, was it, baby, that 20 years ago, 21 years ago, I got serious about getting out of debt. I began to read books, began to get my affairs in order, began to do things that get me out of debt. And let me tell you something. I wish I could say it happens like this all the time, but it usually does, but not all the time. But when I got serious about getting out of debt, God began to help me. You know, I began to look for a second job and what I could do that wouldn't interfere with pastoring and blah, blah, which that's a very difficult thing to do. And so to make a long story short, there was this couple that came to the church. All I can remember is his name was Terry. And first time it ever happened to me, the Sister Sandra Brown came into my office. She said, Pastor, she said, there's $30 in the offering for you. And I go, what? I said, no, that's got to be their tithe. I said, no, it says it right here. This is their tithe. That's what they want you to have. I said, okay, praise God. And I prayed for them. Lord, bless them. Touch them. 2 weeks later, she came back into my office. She said, Pastor, I don't understand it. She goes, there's a $300 check for you. And I went, glory to God. Hallelujah. And over the course of about 8 or 9 months, over 6 months, they sowed into my life $9,000. Really helped me get out of debt. And then, poof, they were gone. What happened to them? I don't know, because I looked for them. I went to their house, y'all, and the house was cleaned out. They were gone. Pastor, were they angels? I don't know. They were mine. But, you know, when I didn't find them, did I go, well, shoot, I'm offended. No. I'm like, God, thank you for the blessing while it was there. God, I give you praise and I give you glory for the blessing. But when you're ungrateful, you open that door. When you become ungrateful, we become easily offended. I want you to stand to your feet tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Today, as I was preparing this message tonight, I had in my mind the way I felt like the Lord was going to do the altar service. And now that I'm here, I don't feel that. Because in order for me to do it the way I felt like I was going to do it, it would take you admitting that you're easily offended. And people who are easily offended ain't ever gonna admit that. So here's what I want to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you struggle with a spirit of offense, if you struggle, and I'm gonna give you five or four of them. If you struggle with ungratefulness, if you struggle operating out of a wrong spirit, if you struggle with unforgiveness in your heart or bitterness, if you struggle
with emotional wounds that have not healed, I just want you to slip up your hand and you can put it right back down. My God. My God. Here's what I want to do. Hands all over this building went up. Here's what I feel like we're supposed to do. Everybody look at me. Now, nobody knows whether you've been wounded. Nobody knows whether you are dealing with ungratefulness. Nobody knows except for me, you, and the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.